another aspect of this etheric repository of what Steiner spoke of as cosmic memory is that the fifth grader, again to use this Janus image, realizes in her heart of hearts that she is on the verge of taking a new step in her life, that she's going to be stepping into a future that is uncertain, that's going to result in a lot of change. And I say she because girls are so much more conscious of this. We'll see this in the remarkable essays that girls start to write in grade 5. Most of the boys in the class cannot write at the fifth grade level of the girls until they are in eighth grade, and often not until they are in 11th grade. That's how great a disparity there is in the self-consciousness of the girl and the boy starting at this age. So there is this quality of looking back, of the etheric body taking one last longing look at the past and almost wanting to remain there. Now, Steiner tells us that every time a soul is on the verge of incarnating, of taking that final leap out of the spiritual world into the womb of the mother, that there is for many, many a soul, in our time particularly, a wish to remain in the spiritual world, which can sometimes be paralyzing, and which then results in complications in that the lifetime that's about to come. So there's something like that being repeated here, being recapitulated. And again, you could ignore it. You know, it's all very, very much below the threshold of consciousness. However, if we can help the child take hold of some aspect or other of a previous life, of, in a certain vicarious way, finish it off, bring it to closure, or at least bring it one step further along, as much as a fifth grader can do with the help of a teacher, we are helping that child take a huge leap into the future. We are really, in a way, disburdening the child, removing a heavy weight from their back, or the chains like Marley's ghost in A Christmas Carol. We are really helping to liberate and free soul forces. So this is another aspect of the necessity of teaching history, and of teaching it in the right way, of really giving the child the archetypes, the most meaningful myths, the stories and the images that will speak most directly to the child's etheric nature. And I must say, though it is politically more and more incorrect nowadays, that the path that Steiner has delineated of ancient India, ancient Persia, Mesopotamia, Babylonia, Egypt, finally its culmination in ancient Greece, that this has come under such fire for being so Western and so white and so this and so that and so on and so forth. And there have been many, many efforts made to diversify it and to, make it more relevant and to look more into what was going on in Africa at that time, or China at that time, or among the Mesoamericans and so on. And I can tell you something very interesting, that although these efforts have often been very, very strongly pushed by the Waldorf Schools Association and by eminent Waldorf leaders in the United States, and have been funded conferences and colloquia to bring teachers more aware of this, make them more aware of this, and so on. The reality is that all of that change never lasts very long. That within 2 or 3 years, a school that's changed everything tends to revert to kind. Now, certainly part of that is just our inherent laziness as a movement. You know, this has worked for 90 years. Why change it? But I think it's also because teachers are sensitive enough, thank goodness, to the needs of their children, that they can see that the path that Steiner has delineated is the therapeutic path. It's the path of healing for the etheric body of today's child. Certainly in the future, the history curriculum will have to change. After all, we'll be part of that history curriculum in the far future. But for today's children, for the children of probably the next 100 years or so, this particular path is one that allows them to look at lifetimes that they most likely had, to look at cultures in which they very likely have lived before, and try in some way or other to come to closure, to make their peace with it. So that's one aspect of it. We are helping those children who have incarnated relatively frequently come to a kind of closure so that they can really meet the present and the future. I came of age in the 1960s. I don't know how many of my friends, 100, 150, something like that, had to go to India to live on an ashram, had to go to Bali to experience life there, had to visit the pyramids, had to go to Athens. Again and again and again, they had to do all of this. And interestingly, in more recent times, how many young men and women have literally had to go to Iraq and had to go to the Mideast to wage war there? Not out of their own volition necessarily, but having to, as it were, step on the ground where they had once stepped before, hundreds or thousands of years ago. So think of this, how much of a person's life may be spent either going back to those places where we had incarnated earlier or longing to do so. And it's not to say this must be stopped or people shouldn't be doing that. Obviously, they should be doing it. They need to do it. But I have the impression, and certainly from students that I've taught or that I've known in the Waldorf movement, that Waldorf students are less inclined to do this, have less of a visceral need to do it. They may do it out of interest, to be a good world citizen, but it is not this almost sort of physical need, this instinct that draws them back to the land of a previous life where they literally, physically have to spend some time and bring it to closure in that way. Within a matter of a week or two, we may be helping a child bring some closure in a remarkable virtual way to a lifetime or a series of lifetimes that have been a burden for them, something that they've carried from one incarnation to another. That is the power of the history curriculum of the Waldorf School. It's much, much more than we recognize. And that's why we want to teach it in the most responsible way that we can, to really make it come to life for the children, because it has so much to do with their life. Okay, now this is such an important subject that I'm going to give you a third part to this question of why we teach history, coming up.